The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path.'" John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. Advent is a time of preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas. Advent is not the time for shopping, but rather a time to prepare to receive Jesus Christ, our Savior. Last Sunday was the first Sunday of Advent. And on that Sunday, my homily was based on hope, the miracle of hope. Throughout this season of Advent, I'm going to preach on the different miracles of Christmas. And last week I said the miracle of hope is that Christ brings hope to those who have no hope. And as Christian people, we have been given the gift to work that miracle. And I said we work that miracle by not shopping during the season of Advent, or at most cutting our shopping by 70%. The time we would have used to shop, we use that time to volunteer among the needy of our society, bringing Christ's hope to them. The money we would have used in shopping, I suggested that we donate it to the Haiti charities. Because since January, after the great earthquake there, many of the people in Haiti still do not have homes. For them, Christ's birth at Christmas will mean nothing to them if we do not show them that hope. Today, I'm going to speak about the miracle of peace. We are invited during the season of Advent and throughout the Christmas season to work the miracle of peace in our world. Peace not only in our families, but peace in our world. The world as it is today is a nightmare, and we all live in constant fear. Fear of terrorists, fear from the economic crisis, fear of all the wars that are going on. Yet the prophet Isaiah speaks today in today's first reading of a world in which there will be peace. A world in which the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. the reign of peace. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Jesus that comes at Christmas, is the Jesus that brings peace to the world. Isaiah prophesied these words not during the time of prosperity in Israel. Isaiah prophesied these words at a time some people call the first Holocaust of the Jews. Between the years 740 and 700 BC, the Assyrians invaded Israel and slaughtered thousands upon thousands of Jews. During these 40 years, the Jewish people were constantly in war with the Assyrians. Many Jews were killed. And for many, there was no hope. It was a time of darkness, a time of gloom. In the midst of this, Isaiah says to them that their time of restoration is coming, when the Savior's reign of peace will overshadow the world. Can we imagine the world that the prophet Isaiah speaks of? We live in a time of gloom. We live in a time of fear. We live in a time when darkness has overshadowed our world. Is the world that Isaiah prophesies possible? Can we think of a world in which the Jews and the Palestinians will live side by side in peace as neighbors? Can we think of a world in which all the rebel groups in African nations will drop their weapons and all work for the development of their nations? Can we imagine a world in which the Republicans and the Democrats will work together for the common good and not for special interest? Can we think of a world in which the different ethnic groups in Iraq will come together and work to build their nation? Can we think of a world in which the North Koreans and the South Koreans will live in peace? Is such a world even possible? The prophet Isaiah tells us it is possible. It is a reign of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We all have been given the gift to work this miracle of peace in the world, to build a civilization of peace in our world. The civilization which we glory in today is not that of peace, is that of destruction. The Council Fathers during Vatican II warned us that the technology which we are creating will become our own worst enemy. It will turn around to destroy us. That's what all the military weapons we have created are doing to us today. As Christian people, we are called to work this miracle of peace, to work for a civilization of peace, a civilization of love. Our world can only know the peace that Jesus Christ brings at Christmas if we end this culture of hate and death. A culture of hate in which we show no tolerance toward those who are different from us, ideologically different, politically different, religiously different, or people of different sexual orientation or ethnic groups. That's a culture of hate and intolerance. a culture of death in which millions of children are being aborted every year. Over 13 million in China alone, over 1 million in the US and in Russia. A culture in which pregnancy is not a gift, is not seen as a gift or a blessing from God, but it is seen as an accident. That's a culture of death. A culture in which we wage wars, killing thousands and thousands of people. And we support those wars. And we call it patriotism. A culture in which many are sentenced to death, and many of them innocent. A culture in which we destroy our environments, creating all these natural disasters that kill thousands and thousands of people. That's a culture of death. A culture in which the poor have no value. We use derogatory language in referring to them. We see them as having no value to society. We demean them. And we don't reach out to help them. Many die because of lack of health care. Many die because of no food, no drinking water. Malaria is the highest killer of children around the world. Yet there's treatment for it. That's a culture of death. During this season of Advent, we are called to work the miracle of peace and to put an end to this culture of hate and death. It is only by ending this culture that the peace that Jesus brings at Christmas will become relevant to our world. The world as it is today is a nightmare, and we all can do something to change it. During this season of Advent, I want to ask you, spend some time and ask yourself, what must I do to end this culture of death? Abortion is the one that every Christian is always interested in. But it's not the only aspect of death in our society. As long as we continue to work to end abortions in our world, we must also look at other things enshrined in our culture, those things that bring about death in our world. Let us all work to end this culture and to build a civilization of peace that Jesus Christ brings at Christmas.